Throughout the program, we're looking back at some of our favorite conversations from the past year. Dr. Abraham Verghese was one of those conversations. He was raised in Ethiopia by parents from India. He immigrated to the U.S. in the 1980s for a medical residency and went to rural Tennessee to treat gay men afflicted with HIV. Later, he became a professor at Stanford University Medical School and the author of bestsellers My Own Country and Cutting for Stone. Celeste and I interviewed Dr. Verghese over the summer about his thoughts on identity, America, and his love for his chosen home country.
I think what happens when you've come from elsewhere, especially as in my case, when you've left a nation that's in turmoil and civil war and so on, is you really have a deep appreciation of what it means to be in a country that protects your religious freedom, your political freedom. Something I think that maybe native-born Americans don't always appreciate because it's so much, you know, part of the background.
Although that was probably colored by your own experience in your native-born country, where you were born in Ethiopia, but you had to leave. That may have made this that much more moving for you.
Yeah, and I think there was one further level of remove. Even though I was born in Ethiopia and speak the language exceedingly well, my parents were of Indian origin and had been hired there as teachers. So, you know, the land I was born to was not the land of my parents. And, you know, when push came to shove, expatriates were asked to leave. And I had never heard that term before. I never understood myself as being an expatriate. And, you know, it was an important moment of a defining moment, I think, as a writer. I always feel I'm on the outside looking in wherever I am. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm very happy here. But there are, you know, traditions and things that, you know, people who've been born in one town have that I envy. You know, I never had the ritual of possum pie and Friday night football or whatever your particular ritual happens to be. And I miss that, but I do have a deep appreciation for what it means to have a home like this.
Well, I don't know if you're missing much on the possum pie, though. But Abraham, you know, the many identities in America, that's certainly the narrative of all of our, you know, more than 200 years of existence as a nation. But there's also the identity of you as a doctor. And I'm wondering if working as a doctor in a small American town gives you a different sense of community than maybe most people have.
Yeah, it does. And I felt incredibly privileged to study medicine in America, but also to practice medicine, you know, in both rural and urban communities. And I remember in the heydays of HIV in the 80s, there I was practicing in rural Tennessee. And, you know, I was very much an alien in that town. I was different looking. I spoke differently. I was foreign trained. And yet the patients I began to accumulate, young men with HIV, in a way, they were more alien in my town than I would ever be because of their sexuality. And I always thought that was tremendously ironic. Here were these hometown boys who looked the part, who played the part, and yet in a funny way, they were more alien in that town than I would ever be because of their sexuality. It was a curious thing. It's one of the reasons that I titled my first book, My Own Country, that sense of irony about this being their country but not being their country in a funny way. And, you know, I often felt that there was a part of them that made them come to see me, not just because I like to think I was a decent physician, but there was also a sense that because I was not of that town, I would not judge them, or maybe I didn't have the right to judge them. Whereas, you know, had they gone to the office of a hometown boy physician, you know, there would have been this immediate sense, perhaps in their mind, that there was someone there sitting there across the desk who would pass judgment on them in a way that I had no right to, perhaps. But it was a strange bond we had that had everything to do with my foreignness as much as anything else.
Well, you know, there's another word for a hometown boy here in the States, and that's all-American boy, Abraham. I wonder what that tells you about small towns, hometowns in this, your adopted country.
Yeah, I think, you know, the lesson of those small towns for me was that, you know, all the sort of prejudices, such as the one we just talked about, sexuality and so on, are so superficial. And when push comes to shove, when a disease like HIV hits the family, I think what impressed me the most was how much family comes to the forefront, how much love trumps all prejudice, you know.
But you also found, it seems, that willingness to be a clean slate, a sort of a blank slate, which is what every American who lands here is until they acquire a community, that's a really universal American value that trumped so much in Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that people, you know, ultimately may make some superficial judgments on you, but they inherently are welcoming, and even in a rural community that doesn't see much in the way of immigrants, you know, there was a strong sense that many of the doctors there were foreign graduates for the precise reason that, you know, it was hard to get American graduates to come settle in a small town and, you know, live out their lives there in the absence of a symphony and a ballpark and, you know, so very much so, a clean slate. That's what America offers.
But you'd call yourself a patriot.
I call myself a patriot in the broadest sense. My most vivid memory of becoming a citizen was being in this old courthouse in Greenville, Tennessee, home of one of our former presidents. And, you know, it seemed like a routine ceremony, but the federal judge who addressed us said something very important that I took away about, you know, how this country was really a gift to us in many ways. And now it was incumbent on us to give back. And now that might just seem like, you know, pablum, something that people say. But at that moment, it profoundly moved me. And, you know, my patriotism consists of the sense of being deeply obliged and giving back. I spent the great majority of my career in county hospitals, and I tremendously enjoyed that. A sense of, if I weren't there, I'm not sure the patients would have got quite the same care than if I'd been elsewhere.
Are those values hard to transmit to your own kids who were born here?
To some degree, I think they take a lot for granted. They're immune to the tales of my struggle and how I got here and all that stuff. But I think that's how it should be. I mean, you know, I precisely wanted them to be born to a land where their geography is their destiny. I love that phrase, by the way, geography is destiny, because it seems so trite, but it's so true. I mean, my destiny was changed because I was born elsewhere, and if you bring about a change in your geography, you bring about a change in your destiny, and I'm happy for my kids to have a consistent geography and therefore, you know, one of the best destinies one can have in this world.
Abraham Verghese, professor for the theory and practice of medicine at Stanford University Medical School, author of several best-selling books, including My Own Country and Cutting for Stone. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
What are you grateful for this Thanksgiving? Is this your homeland? Does it represent freedom, being in America, or something else? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or text us at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.